your house. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Jesus, that on this day we celebrate that you are a risen God. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Like Donnie said earlier, it's our privilege this morning to have Alistair and Hester with us. And Alistair is the new impact player on the team at the church office. And we really receive him. The word says that if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you'll have a prophet's reward. And this house chooses to have a prophet's reward this morning. So we welcome you, Alistair. And one thing I've come to know of Alistair in a short time is that he is a righteous man. And secondly, he loves the Word of God. So we can know that what he's going to share this morning is of the heart of God. And we thank you and we look forward to many more sermons from this pulpit. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. It's a great privilege for me. Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Donnie and all the leaders. It's such a privilege for me to be ministering to guys this morning. Esther and I have been here officially for one day now. We arrived in Pretoria. We actually moved 2 weeks ago, all our stuff from Cape Town. And then we had to go back down to Stellenbosch for the pastor summit with Heinrich and Philip. And then we were at the youth camp last week as well. So we've been running around on an amazing adventure this December. But finally we have arrived in Pretoria. But we're going to have to pack our bags again because we've got a wedding on tomorrow, and then we go to the farm, to both our farms, our parents' farms, for the last 2 weeks of the year, and then we'll be back here on the 4th of January to start running full steam. So we've been on an amazing adventure with all the moving, and we did a great road trip up because the lorry only took a week to get our stuff from Cape Town. Yeah, we were given a week off off our MTP program, which is officially finished now, but we were given a week off to move. And then we heard that our stuff is only going to take a week to get here. So we decided we'll do a nice road trip. So we drove from Cape Town all the way, slept over with friends in Great Brack River. Then we went along to PE, to East London, up the coast, via Port St. John's, Margate, and then all the way here to Pretoria. So we did 2,800 Ks. In our Ford Focus, it was very focused, but it was an amazing, amazing time of just seeing the provision that God has given this country. What a beautiful, beautiful country we live in. Amen. It's just such an awesome place to be in. I'm just so glad I wasn't sent anywhere else. You know, I was sent to South Africa at least. At least we're staying in the borders of South Africa, but praise God, if we have to go, we've got to go. But it's just so awesome to still be ministering in this amazing country and to be serving God in this place, and especially here in Pretoria. So we're really looking forward to a great few years here in Pretoria. We don't know how long it's going to be. It might be for the rest of our lives. Who knows? We're just going to be obedient to God and to serve His purposes. And that's why we're here, just to serve the church here and to serve God and to see His kingdom come right here in Pretoria. So before I continue, let's just bow our heads in prayer and just dedicate this time to the Lord. Father, we thank You this morning for Your joy, God. That's our strength this morning, Lord. Thank You that we can just come into Your courts with praise, Lord, and come through your gates, Lord, and into Your courts with praise and with thanksgiving, God. We thank You that You are the great God, Lord. We thank You that You are a mighty God. We thank You that You saved us, Lord. We thank You for the blood of Jesus that sets us free, Lord. And that we can come this morning into Your house just with freedom and with boldness, Lord. And we lay down any distractions this morning. We lay down tiredness, Lord, or fatigue that often sets in at the end of a year, God. But we don't want to focus on that this morning, Lord. We focus on Your goodness and Your grace in our lives, Lord, that's sufficient for us to walk this walk of faith, God. So we stretch out our faith this morning to You, Lord, and we ask You to speak to every one of our hearts, Lord. Thank You that we can hear Your word again. Thank You that Your word is powerful, Lord. That it's sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord. That Your word divides, Lord, and even just convicts our spirits of those things that are not of You, God, and that are distracting us from walking this walk of faith, God. And we just lay down aside our minds even that are somewhere else, Lord. Often our minds wander, Lord, but we just focus on You this morning and what You have to say to us, Lord. So speak to us, God. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You're here this morning to minister to us, Lord. We just honor You and we thank You for Your peace, Lord. I just speak Your peace over every heart this morning, Lord, that Your peace that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus who's here this morning. We just honor You, God, and we praise You for Your word. In Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Okay, guys, I'm going to minister a word from the book of Ruth. Now, who of you have read the book of Ruth? trust most of us know where the book of Ruth is in the Word, but it's amazing to see that the book of Ruth and the life of Ruth is very significant, because Ruth comes just after Judges. Now Judges, the last chapter in Judges, I just want to read it, it's not up on the screen. It says that in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So Ruth, the book of Ruth is written in a very significant part of the Bible, because it was a terrible time for Israel. There was chaos in the whole of Israel because there was no leader and everyone just did what was right in their own eyes. So it's amazing. Ruth comes before Samuel, and Samuel obviously speaks about the birth of David and the prophet Samuel coming in, the purposes of God being fulfilled through the first king of Israel, who was Saul, and then obviously David took over. But the book of Ruth is very significant, and I just want to minister a little bit out of the life of Ruth specifically. Now, there are three characters that feature in the book of Ruth. Ruth, obviously Naomi and Boaz. But I'm going to specifically be speaking about the life of Ruth this morning. And we're just going to look at a few things in the life of Ruth, or just how Ruth positioned herself and focused herself for the purposes of God. The title of my sermon is Preparing for Harvest. And I really want us to, you know, sometimes at the end of the year, we get tired and we sort of look back in the year and maybe things didn't go according to what we wanted them to go. And maybe we didn't feel like we fulfilled God's purpose completely. But I really want us this morning to focus on next year and to focus on preparing for next year, preparing for the harvest that is going to come in. You know, Hester and I were doing some shopping in the Brooklyn Mall yesterday. And just, you know, the Brooklyn Mall isn't one of the busiest malls here in Pretoria. But even in the Brooklyn Mall, there was just masses of people, cars. I mean, we could hardly find parking. But it struck me again of just the harvest that's out there. Just the many people walking around, running around after the things of the world. And how the harvest is out there for us. And I was just, you know, excited to see the number of people that we can truly reach here in Gauteng. That compared to the Cape, this place has got a huge harvest. And that's why I'm so excited about being here. That's why Hester and I are really excited. Because the harvest truly is plentiful. And the laborers are few. And we are all laborers in God's kingdom. God has truly chosen all of us to prepare for His harvest and to get ready for next year. Because I really believe that next year we're going to see many souls being saved. We're going to see students coming in. We're going to see working people. We're going to see older people. We're going to even see great grandmothers and fathers coming into the kingdom of God. Because the harvest truly is ready. And that's why my sermon this morning is entitled Preparing for Harvest. Because we need to forget about what's happened this year now. We can learn the lessons and we can really see what God has done in our lives this year. But let's really focus for these last 2 weeks of the year. I really want to encourage you, focus on preparing yourself for the harvest to come next year. Because it's truly going to be a great harvest. So let's just read together from Ruth chapter 1. I'm going to be ministering a few verses all over Ruth chapter 1 and 2. But let's start with Ruth chapter 1 from verse 16 to 17. But Ruth said, okay, let me just first of all give you a bit of a background. Now Ruth was one of Naomi and her husband Elimelech. They came to the land of Moab. There was a great famine in Israel. Okay, because of the sin and the oppression in Israel, there was a famine. God sent a famine to the land of Israel. So Elimelech his wife Naomi moved to the land of Moab. Now Moab was they were in a bit of opposition to Israel. They weren't part of the promised land. So Moab was a bit of an enemy of the Israelites or of Israel. And Moab actually the nation of Moab started when Lot, if you guys read Genesis chapter 19, Lot was cast away from Abraham and he went into the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, and obviously God rescued him out of Sodom and Gomorrah when he put the fire on them and he burnt them up. And his wife looked back and she was turned into a pillar of salt because God said, don't look back, just go forward. So Lot and his two daughters moved out into the mountains. And what happened was both his daughters decided, Lot hasn't got a wife now, so they decided to get him drunk, both of them. And they basically got him drunk and then they bore children from Lot. Okay, so you can imagine how the Moabites weren't a very great nation, because the eldest son or the eldest daughter of Lot bore the first son by her father, which is now not a very great way to have a child by your own father. Okay, so the Moabites weren't born a very great nation. Okay, so Ruth comes from this. Ruth was a Moabitess. She came from the descendants of Moab. Okay, so that's how Moab started. But Elimelech and his wife, Naomi decided to move to this land of Moab just to get away from the oppression that was in Israel. Okay, but then she heard from the Lord that God was starting to bless the land again, so she decided to leave. But before that, both her husband and her two sons died. And Ruth was actually married to one of her sons. Ruth and Orpah were both her daughters-in-law. And she said to them, please don't go with me. I'm going back to the land of Israel. Don't come with me because I need to go back to the land of Bethlehem. Please stay here and get for yourselves another husband and stay with your family. And Orpah said to her, great, I'll go. I want a husband. I want to continue in my family. But Ruth said to her, these are the words that Ruth said to her, because she said to Ruth, please, you must go back to your family. So Ruth said, yeah, in verse 16, entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. An amazing covenant. And isn't this very familiar, this covenant? We hear it every wedding that we have. Your people will be my God. Your God will be my God. It talks about a covenant relationship. Ruth made a covenant relationship with Naomi and said to Naomi, Naomi, I'm not leaving you because wherever you go, I will follow after you. I want to be in covenant with you. I want to stay and be committed to the purposes of your life. And she could see Ruth obviously started, the Bible doesn't tell us, but Ruth must have had some kind of a relationship with God and she was being drawn to God, although she came from a Gentile nation. But she could see something in Naomi's life and she positioned herself right there with Naomi and said, Naomi, I can see God is anointed your life. You are in the will of God and I want to follow you. I want to desire that same thing. And that's why this morning my first point is talking about positioning. And there are three things when it comes to positioning. First of all, we need to position ourselves, obviously, in our relationship to Jesus Christ. That's the first, you know, position that we need to be in, to be in Christ. When it comes to relationship, that's the most important covenant relationship we will have, is with Jesus Christ. And the second one is our position in terms of the bride, our position in terms of this church of Jesus Christ. And that's what I love about Shofar. Shofar's whole thing is where we sign covenant, and some people think it's very radical. But I just think it's so awesome how We try to ensure that people understand covenant relationship. You see, God only understands covenant relationships, where we lay down our lives for His purposes, where we say, Lord, it's not about me and my feelings. It's about the commitment that I want to make, not only to you, but to the people of God. And that covenant form that we find is so significant, because it talks about that commitment to the bride of Jesus Christ, to His body that He's called us to be. And it doesn't mean when you sign that covenant that you're in Shofar forever. It just means that the time that God has called you to be in Shofar, the time that God has called you to be in this church, you've got to position yourself for the blessings of God. You've got to position yourself together with the people of God. Just like Ruth did, where she said, I will die with you because I don't want to leave you. I want to be in covenant with you. And we'll see now the blessing that Ruth experienced. Because you see, she was drawn not only to Naomi, but she was drawn to the God in her. And she wanted to position herself correctly with the people of God. And I remember a couple of years ago, I was working for a company. I just started working. I'd finished my studies. I came into Shofar. I was a small group leader. And God sent two friends who are still my covenant friends to this day, to my cell group. I didn't know at that stage they were going to be my covenant friends. But it was so amazing. We ended up driving all the way out to Atlantis. Now, Atlantis is 65 Ks from Stellenbosch. The company moved from the mechanical engineering faculty out to Atlantis on the west coast. And we had to drive all these Ks out to work and back every day because we didn't want to move out there. We wanted to stay in Stellenbosch because we knew that was where God has called us to position ourselves in Stellenbosch. So we would drive all the way out to Atlantis together, the three of us. But these friends became covenant friends to me because we spoke up every day. We prayed before we went to that company. We in the car, we prayed. We said, God, today we want to be vessels. We want to be used by you. We want to be instruments in your kingdom. And every day we would encourage each other. We would keep each other accountable. We would inspire each other to continue living every day for God's purposes at the company. And there were tough times. There were many unbelievers there. We had a prayer group going. We prayed and it was hard ground. Not many people came to know the Lord. Not many people even joined the prayer group that we had. But we continued to be faithful. And I tell you, if it wasn't for those two friends in my life, I would have really been at a bad place. Because it wasn't like my work was that fulfilling to me. I mean, being a quality engineer wasn't a bad job. But it's like, you know, being in the ministry is just awesome for me. But at that time, I had to go through a time of preparing and go through a time of where I was doing a job where it wasn't the most fulfilling thing for me to do, but it was exactly where God wanted me to be. In those covenant relationships and in that company where I could experience just His blessing and His anointing. And I can tell you, we really encourage each other, and those brothers are still my brothers today. They're still my covenant friends. But you see, if I haven't positioned myself in the bride of Christ and obviously positioned myself in Christ Himself, then I wouldn't have met these fellow believers who could have encouraged me and could have, you know, really walked the walk of faith with me. And that's what I'm going to encourage every one of you guys today. If you haven't positioned yourself with fellow believers in a small group or wherever it is where God wants to use you in a ministry, position yourselves with other people who can surround you, who can pray for you, who can encourage you to continue on this walk of faith. Because the tough times will come and the devil will take us out if we're isolated. So I want to say, be like Ruth and say, in your heart, where you commit yourself to the people of God, you commit yourself to God Himself, you commit yourself to the bride of Christ, and say, Lord, let your purposes and let your kingdom come in my life, through my life. Because God wants to give us blessings through covenant relationship. God only understands when we are willing to lay down our lives, when we are willing to deny ourselves and serve His purposes, to really see His kingdom come. Because often when we're on our own, we get distracted and we start thinking of me, myself, and I. It's just a natural thing. But when we position ourselves with friends and other people around us that encourage us, it makes the world of difference. So it's all about positioning. Now, if you look at a harvest, my father-in-law has got an amazing farm in the Free State and rates in the Free State. Now, he's got millies and he's got wheat, right? So every year, twice a year, there's two harvests. The first one is the millies in the middle of the year, around the middle of the year, and then at the end of the year, now it's time to harvest the wheat. Now, if you look at preparing for the harvest there on his farm, he has to position himself right. He's got to position, his farm has to be in the right area. Okay, if he wants to go and harvest wheat, he can't go down to the Western Cape where there are grapes. Okay, he's got to come to the Free State or to Boerland, Malmesbury, or you know, all over the country, there are wheat areas or millie areas. He's got to position himself in that area. And that talks the same about positioning ourselves in the body of Christ, positioning ourselves where the harvest is, positioning ourselves where we can receive the harvest. So I'm going to use this correlation throughout my sermon, just of his farm and positioning ourselves for the harvest. The second one, Ruth chapter 1 verse 22. Once we have positioned ourselves right, then we see that Ruth returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Very significant. They came to Bethlehem at a significant time, the beginning of barley harvest. And when I read this, I just thought, this is so amazing. Because this is like God's timing, positioning us at the beginning of barley harvest, positioning ourselves at the right time. Ruth came at a very significant time because suddenly, after the drought, after the famine, there was a huge bumper crop. God had sent rain and the harvest was plentiful. So Ruth came at this time. And you see, God's perfect timing happens when we position ourselves. And I want to say, maybe some of you are going through different seasons. There's a season where we receive. There's a season where we grow and we become disciples. But then once you've been made a disciple, it's time yourself to make disciples. It's time to go out and to position yourself for God's timing, where God's perfect timing in your life comes and happens and you see fulfillment happening. You see Ruth here, and we'll see for the rest of the story as we continue, positioning herself in the harvest field. And I remember when I left this company, that I was the first company I worked for, it was just such the right time. We had just been to a mission in India, and when I was on that mission, I heard that I'd got another job at the new company, because I just knew this time, my other two brothers had actually left. They had gone to other companies, and I just knew God was saying to me, it's time to move on. It's your season year has come to an end. It's time to look for another job. It's time to make a difference in other people's lives. Because we had made a difference. We had prayed for 7 years I was at that company. We had prayed faithfully. And I can tell you the harvest is going to come in. I don't know how the company is doing now. I don't know how many people have got saved since. But I just know we were faithful to God's purposes in that season. And when I moved to the next season, it was like from glory to glory. The next company I worked for, there was an established prayer group going. I was able to slot in. But the people said to me that they just needed someone to come and encourage them. It was like they were sort of almost at a stagnant point in their prayer group. And when I got there, I just felt like I could really make a difference in these people's lives. Not necessarily in the unbelievers' lives. That too, I had many opportunities, but I could make a difference in the believers' lives there. And we started praying even more fervently. We started really trusting God for the harvest to come in that company. And just speaks of where God's timing was just so perfect for me to come to that company. And 2 years later, Shofar phoned me and said, it's time for the ministry. But in those 2 years, I could make an impact. I could make an impact in this other company, which is exactly how God used me. So you see, God's perfect timing happens. But I want to say to all of us this morning, now is the time. The time for harvest is here. And it doesn't matter what season you're in. You could be a season in the season of drought. But it's time to start positioning yourself for the harvest. Because the harvest truly is plentiful. Amen. Are you all with me this morning? Shake somebody next to you and say, the harvest is plentiful. Then if we go to chapter 2, Ruth chapter 2 from verse 2, Ruth is now getting really excited about this harvest. So she said to Naomi, please, let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. You see, it's not just by chance. Ruth's attitude was excited. She was excited and enthusiastic about the harvest. She said to, I can just imagine her saying to Naomi, Naomi, please, I can't just sit here at home. I need to be out there. I need to be out there in the harvest field. I need, there's provision for me there. Now, gleaning, I just want to give a bit of background here. Gleaning means that she wasn't actually involved in the harvest. She was involved behind the harvest. She was involved where the harvesters went and then there was leftovers. And they actually did that for the poor people. It was almost like a charity thing where the corners of the field, they weren't allowed to harvest them. Those were left for the poor people. And often there was seed left over, which Ruth was now obviously a servant, but she was poor. She was a widow. She came behind the reapers and she gleaned and picked up that which was left over. But it was more than enough, you see. It was provision. But the fact is, God provides for us when, doesn't matter what our circumstances are. We might be widows in terms of our relationship with God. We might feel that we're not really legitimate. Maybe you feel like you come from like the Moabite family, where your family has done terrible things. You come from a line of sin and of iniquities in your family's line. But God wants to use you. You might be a Moabite in the figurative sense of the word. But God wants to use you like He used Ruth. But the thing is, you've got to get your attitude right. You need to say, Lord, doesn't matter how poor I feel, doesn't matter how down I feel or what desert I'm in at the moment, I want to get involved in the harvest because there's a blessing there. There's abundant life in that harvest. And I remember in this time when I was working for this first company, I was driving back the one day and I was just in a time where I started getting excited about the harvest. But I was just at a time when I was frustrated not seeing people saved. I was frustrated not seeing something happen. I said to God, Lord, I want to start trusting you to impact people's lives. I want to start trusting you for divine appointments. And I can't just go to work every day and not see lives change. I was so passionate just to see people's lives change. And I had enough of being in this company, praying, and nothing was happening. And then God just said to me, I'm going to start giving you divine appointments. But you need to be ready. You need to get your attitude ready. And this one day, I actually didn't drive with the people who I'd got a lift with that day, my friends and so on. I had to get a lift with these new people in the company. Three new people. I think there were two students and one other new employee that was working there. So I'm driving and I'm sitting in the back of this car. There are three of them. They're talking. And the whole time I'm just feeling this nervousness. I'm feeling like I must challenge these people now. I must talk to these people. So we get just there in that to those of you who know Stellenbosch, just before that Kaimundi robot there, or not robot, that camera, there's a 60 zone there, that camera catches a lot of people there. But we're driving sort of close to Stellenbosch now, and I feel my time is getting short now because they're going to drop me off and then I'll have missed this opportunity. So I decided, I'm just going to ask them this one question. I'm going to say, what happens if we, in an accident in this car, and all of us die? But what is going to happen to you? Have you thought about that? And I just left this question out in the open for all three of them to answer. And it was just amazing, the response. You know, one person, the guy who was sitting next to me in the back, he was quite hard. And he just said, ach man, you know, the Bible says 144,000 people are going to heaven. And I'm not part of that 144. So I don't really care. I don't worry. God's not going to choose me anyway. Because I'm not part of that 144 that he thought I was going to heaven. And the rest were, I don't know what was going to happen. So he was quite hard. He sort of just left it. And then the other guy up front, the guy that was driving, he didn't really say anything. And the girl that was with us, she was sort of a bit religious and so on. She gave a, you know, funny answer like, yo, I think I'm fine, you know, I go to church and I do all those things. But the amazing thing was, that guy was driving who said nothing. He was the first one. About 6 months later, he came to salvation, came to shofar, he's still serving God to this day. The guy next to me in the car also, I mean, I didn't know about this. I suddenly saw these people in church and I thought, geez, this is amazing. A couple of months ago, I was sharing with you and you guys said nothing. You're all hard. No one was excited about God. And yeah, they are in the church serving God. I don't know what happened to the girl. Now she went to Cape Town and so on. But those two guys came to salvation through just the seed. And obviously, I wasn't the only one that sowed seed. But the fact is, we must sow seed. Our attitudes towards the harvest must be right. We cannot just, you know, go out there and say, Lord, someone else can, you know, someone else can be involved in the harvest. I'm involved in my own things. See, if our attitudes are right and we say, Lord, I'm tired of not seeing people saved. I'm tired of seeing the church at this time of the year being half empty. I'm tired of seeing so many chairs, you know, being left open here, where so many people out there are missing out on this amazing abundance that we've experienced. Then God will start to use you and He'll start to give you divine appointments, just like He did me. And people will come. The fruit of it will be there if we just ask the right question. We just challenge people. But you see, our attitudes will only change in prayer. And when we put our faith out and we say, Lord, this faith that you've given me, I'm stretching it, I'm putting it out to you and saying, God, change my heart. I want to wrestle with you, Lord, till you bless me with souls, till you bless me with fruit. Just like you blessed Ruth, where she was involved, even not even in the front line of the harvest, but even just at the back, picking up the leftovers. God still started to bless her. And we'll see that now. But you see, His timing is so perfect because, yeah, she happened. It says, yeah, she happened to come to a part of the field belonging to Boaz. Very significant. God's purposes were fulfilled because she was perfectly positioned, perfectly in God's timing. But her attitude was right. She was excited. She was enthusiastic. And her faith was there to see God move in her lives. You see, then the doors will open for us when our positioning and our timing and our attitudes are right. Verse 8, then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. My fourth point is to do with authority and submission under authority. You see, we can be positioned, we can be in God's perfect timing, and our attitudes can be all excited. But if we're not under authority, if we're not under the authority of God and submitting to His purposes or to the leadership of the church, then we're gonna destroy many lives. We're gonna actually make a bit of a mess of the harvest. Because the authority of God speaks about a focused vision. And I want to challenge all of us this morning. Are we committed to the vision that God has given us as a church? Are we committed to reaching nations, to reaching generations, through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting? That is the vision that God has given us as shofar. And it's important. And submission is something of the heart. Submission isn't something that you show everyone around you and show, look, I'm submitted. Submission is something of the heart under that authority that God has placed us under. And obviously the most important is to submit under God's word, to submit under His purposes for your life. But you cannot submit to God and not submit to His bride, to the church that is His main plan. God has given the church authority to be the vessel that He wants to reach people. So if you're not submitted to the church, you're not actually submitted to God. So authority is so important, but it's amazing if we look here, authority speaks of safety. It speaks of where Boaz said to Ruth, and it's amazing how he asks her, yeah, he says, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? He expects her to be submissive. He expects her to understand the authority he's placed, you know, she's been placed under. And we as leaders of the church, we want to also expect that from you. We don't want to have to, you know, discipline people all the time because they're not submitting or they're not under the authority. God, and it's the same with the heart of God. God doesn't expect you to be a rebel. He actually, once you've come to Him and He starts sorting you out, He expects you to submit to His purposes. God doesn't say, you're a rebel, you need to be sorted out. He says, will you not submit to me? Will you not listen to me? I'm sure you will. I'm really confident that you will. And that's the attitude we need to have because God and the leaders of the church expect us to submit. It's the same with when I was sent here to Pretoria, when they asked me to come here. I mean, the first thing in my heart was, you know, leaving Cape Town, leaving Stellenbosch. You know, do I really have to do this? But then God came to speak to me and He said, I will speak to you through the leaders. The leaders have proven themselves to you, Alistair. You can trust the leadership. They can hear from you. And sometimes they will make mistakes. Sometimes they will hear wrong. But the great thing is God confirmed to me that I must come here. God confirmed that we must be here. But the leader, it was just confirmed because God speaks to the leaders and then He speaks to us. You see, so if we submit and we trust our leaders, you see, Ruth trusted Boaz here. And she trusted Naomi. She could see the fruit of their lives. And therefore, when they asked her to stay in the boundaries and to stay under all the authority, she had no problem submitting. She had no problem being in that safe place. It speaks of protection. It speaks of provision. Boaz says, when you are thirsty, go to the vessels, drink from what the young men have drawn. It speaks of such a provision. And I've experienced that in this church in my life, that there's been such a provision. Friends, a wife. I mean, God provided for me an amazing wife because I was in His authority, in his fold. And there's an amazing time just where we can experience God's safe place and the boundaries that God has set out for us. So it's so important to be submissive, to honor the leaders, and to commit in your heart to the vision that the leaders, that God has given the leaders and given Fred specifically. And I remember when I went to India 2 years ago, and I was asked to be the co-leader of this mission to India, and about half or towards the end of the mission, I just started feeling a bit of rebellion in my heart towards the leader. Because the leader was younger than me, and I'd sort of almost felt like I'd been a Christian longer. I'd been in Shofar longer than this leader, and he was a student anyway. And I'm working, and I've got experience. And I started feeling a little bit of rebellion towards this leader. And the one night, he just said to us, we went to this sort of, there was this huge Buddha sort of statue up on this hill, and went to go and pray on this hill. But he just said to us, we must pray in tongues now the whole time. We will be praying in tongues loud. And we will be taking authority here because this is warfare now. And I just started feeling, but I've got faith. Why do I need to pray in tongues all the time? Why do I need to sort of do what he says now? I just feel like we can just relax and just, you know, I've got faith. Nothing's going to harm us. We're in unity here. We're fine. But I was so rebellious, and he started experiencing that some of us weren't really submitting to him. He just said, I feel like there's division in the team. And I was like, yeah, this guy's really on a tangent here. What's he worrying about? Let's just go up to the top of this hill and let's just pray now. But what's this praying in tongues and this warfare that we're doing here? I mean, we're doing God's will. We don't have to be so extreme. And then that night, I sort of almost challenged him after. And I said, I mean, you know, do we have to always pray in tongues like this? I mean, can't we just, you know, we pray. There's a time when we pray in the Spirit. But why do we need to pray in the Spirit the whole time? And he sort of started challenging me back and said, but this is warfare. You should have dealt with this stuff before you came. You can't challenge me now. This is what I feel God is saying, and we will do that. And I was so challenged in my heart, and I really had to repent to him afterwards, just of being rebellious and not submitting under his leading and under his guiding. And even if it was wrong what he said, my job was just to submit to him because it was warfare. It was such a critical time. And after that, the team, there was such division in the team because of that. And I realized I'm a co-leader. If I'm on one tangent and he's on another, then there's going to be division in the team. And I had to repent, and God brought back the unity in the team after that. But you see, it's so important for us, especially if we small group facilitators, zone coaches, if we're in leadership, or even if we just members of the church, it's so important not to bring division. It's so important to be submissive to God's purposes and to be focused and not to be on our own tangent, think we know better. To really submit, just as Ruth did here. And we'll see now there was such a blessing on this. Last point. You see, we can only be in authority when we are under authority. And this is so evident here in verse 11 from chapter 2. And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me." Now, this happened just after Ruth sort of bowed down to Boaz and said, "My Lord, I've found favor in your sight. Who am I to find favor in your sight? This is just so amazing. I bow down to you. I serve you because I've found favor. You have blessed me. You have been good to me." And then Boaz said to her, and he said, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Amazing. talking about favor. The favor of God on our lives when we submit, when we position ourselves, when we're in God's perfect timing, when our attitudes are excited about the harvest, when we're ready and enthusiastic, and we serve people and we love people, then we can really experience where God will say to us, I will repay your work. I will give you a full reward. I will give you souls. Because that's God's greatest reward for us, is to give us many people, to enlarge this church, that we can plant many other churches, that we can see people saved, see people discipled, not only saved, but discipled, and become disciples themselves. Then God's favor will come on our lives. But then we have great authority and we have great influence. You see, when God starts to bless us, we have influence. And I know there's some people here who are in influential positions, whether it's in your company, in your family, whatever, you're in an influential position because people have seen the fruit. But it's time to say, Lord, I want to submit this influence and this favor and this blessing to you, Lord, because I want you to use it. I want you to use the abundance that you've given me. I want to be a faithful and wise steward. You see, it talks about stewardship. It talks about the influence. When God starts to pour His favor out, then that is when Ruth experiences the blessing. And we know the end of the story. We know Ruth ends up marrying Boaz. Boaz redeems her. And she becomes one of God's people. She becomes part of the people of God. And she gives birth to Obed. Obed's son was Jesse, and Jesse's son was David. So Ruth started to give birth, or she gave birth to the purposes of God. Ruth was in the line of David and also in the line of Jesus Christ. See, God had a perfect plan for Ruth's life. But she was submissive. She had the right attitude. She was in God's timing. She decided to make covenant with the people of God and not with her family who were not of God. She left her family. She left everything. She laid down her life for God and for the love of God and for the love of His people. And you see, when that was birthed in her, then she gave birth to the purposes of God. And that's what God wants for each and every one of us. God wants to give birth to purpose, to His purposes in and through your life. That's His ultimate plan. In Isaiah chapter 60, this is my last scripture. I'll end off with this one. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. You see, where it says there, you shall see and become radiant in verse 5, that speaks just of a satisfaction when we see people getting saved, when we see people's lives being changed. There's nothing greater than that. There's nothing more satisfying in life than seeing other people come to experience the same blessing that we are experiencing. And it says, you shall see. It's time to open up our eyes, people. It's time to see the abundance that is waiting for us. You see, this last week we were on summer camp with the youth. And I don't know if Ed's not here today. Ed was down there with us. He's going to represent the youth here in Pretoria next year. And we're trusting for the youth to really come in up here as well. But there were so many people, there were 200 people in total, facilitators included on this camp. But I've never experienced, I haven't really worked a lot with youth since I've been saved and so on. But just to see these young people, grade 8s, 9s, 10s, not even matrics, young high school children, just being so passionate and fired up for the Lord. And God did so much in these people's lives this week. It was just, for Esther and I, it was just such a blessing to be involved. Now, we weren't directly, we were sort of the crew members. We had to organize all the games that they played and facilitate the adventure activities and so on. But just to see the passion of these young people and to see the harvest that God is truly starting to raise up, it was just for me such a testimony and such an encouragement that here in Pretoria, we're also going to see youth coming in. We're going to see students. We're going to see families, working people, older people. We're going to see the harvest coming in. But these young people have got such a childlike faith. They just, every night we had worship for 3 nights, and God, the Holy Spirit, just came and fell on these people, and people were delivered and set free of bondages. People coming out of divorced homes, coming out of the worst situations, having to go back to people being, you know, put at gunpoint in their families and just in their surroundings. But it's just amazing to see the commitment that they had to what God had called them to do, to be on this camp, to experience the being discipled for a short time. And it was just an encouragement for me to see that the harvest is out there. And these children are going to be part of bringing in the harvest. And that was the word that they received as well at the end, was that God wanted to use each and every one of them in business, in the church, in sports fields, wherever, in politics. God wanted to use these young people. He's going to use them to bring in the harvest and to be in influential positions. But the same goes for us. You see, the same, God is saying the same to us this morning, and He's saying it's time to prepare for the harvest. It's time to believe and to really say, Lord, I can see the light of Your light is shining on me. Your glory has come upon my life. And therefore, I want to see Gentiles, the wealth of Gentiles, which represents their lives. And their money, obviously, God wants to bring the wealth of the rich into the church. He wants to equip the church with finances to be able to build schools and, you know, to be able to really see the God's kingdom come. That it's time for us to really say, Your word is true, Lord. Your word says the abundance of the Gentiles will come to us. The souls need to be saved. Souls will come to us if we just start to say, Lord, give us, out of relationship with You, give us a love for people. Out of when we position ourselves in Christ and we position ourselves out of receiving so much love, we can give love. We can give love to others. When we say, Lord, Your timing is now. It's now is the time for the harvest. If I still need to be discipled, Lord, do it quickly because Your harvest is ready. I need to be discipled. I need to be equipped. So do Bible school next year. Do foundations. Do whatever you need to do to equip yourself, to prepare yourself for the harvest. And then pray and say, Lord, my faith. Sometimes my attitude is down, but it's because my faith is low, Lord. And often our attitudes are low because our faith is low. So we need to say, God, increase the little bit of faith that You've given me. Increase it and help me to use it to get my attitude right for the harvest. To say, Lord, I'm not going to sit next to no one in church. I'm going to bring someone that doesn't know You. I'm going to bring people to church. I want to do whatever I have to do. Sow seeds at work. Sow seeds of life. But Lord, my attitude, it stinks about the harvest and I need to change that. I want to wrestle with You. And then submission. Submission under the vision of the leadership. Submission under God's purpose through shofar. It's important. And then, of course, to see the influence and the abundance God has given you. And to use it and to say, Lord, the riches that I have, the blessings financially, the blessings on the sports field, the talent that I have, I want to use it to influence people, Lord, because Your favor is continuing on my life. And I'm going to be frustrated, Lord, if this favor is not being used for Your purposes. I'm going to be frustrated. Now, I've seen many of my friends that have got so much favor on their lives, but they're on another tangent. They're seeking their own. They're blessed. They're really people who committed to the Lord at one stage in their lives, but they're on their own tangent, seeking their own purposes, seeking the me, myself, and I, because they haven't actually had that revelation of positioning themselves truly in Christ and in His body and with other believers. You see, it's time to lay aside our distractions, people. It's time to let the devil know that he has been defeated. And it's time to believe what the Word says and to act on it. It's truly time to prepare for the harvest. Let's all stand this morning as we just pray. Father God, we just thank You this morning for time in Your presence, God. We thank You for the book of Ruth, Lord, that is so significant, Lord, in a time where Israel was just seeking its own. Every person was just living for what he felt was right, Lord. And we see it around us today, Lord. We see it all around the world, Lord, especially in this time, God, where people are seeking, Lord, their own purposes. People are seeking just to do whatever is right in their own eyes, Lord. But we are here like Ruth this morning, Lord. We are here to lay down our families, Lord, to lay down distractions that are not from You, God, and to really follow You, Lord. Not to follow people, Lord. Not to follow what the world says, God. But to stick to the people of God. To covenant, Lord, with You and with Your church and with people, Lord. And we pray this morning that we ask You for our attitudes as well, Lord. Where many times our attitudes just are tired, Lord. Or our faith is low, God. But we just pray this morning as we prepare, Lord, for next year. We pray that You would give us time of rest even now, Lord. And just time of focus where we can see the harvest, Lord, in our minds. Where we can see what You see, Lord. See the people out there, Lord, that are so lost and desperate for a Savior, Lord. So we just bring ourselves this morning to You, God. And we just say, let Your kingdom come in and through us. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know where you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. You're not positioned truly in Christ this morning. Maybe you've got a religious relationship. Maybe you see God as someone who can just do something for you, or someone who's maybe dropped you. Maybe you know the Lord, but you're bitter towards Him, or you're not really in a love relationship, an abundant relationship with Jesus this morning. And that's the first, and that's the most important thing. The harvest means nothing if we're not positioned in Christ this morning. So maybe if you're here this morning and you know that your relationship with God is not right, then it's time this morning to make right and to say, Lord, here I am. I want to give my life anew to you. Maybe you've backslidden a bit in these last few weeks, or you're just tired. And it's time to come back to the Lord, first of all, because you cannot be in His timing, you cannot have the right attitude, you cannot have submission if you're not submitting to Him, first of all. So is there anyone like that this morning? Maybe you just need to recommit your life to the Lord, or just say, Lord, just take my life again, Lord. I make a commitment to the harvest this morning. Because when I make a commitment to you, Lord, I'm making a commitment to your people. Is there anyone like that this morning? Just the last opportunity. Just raise your hand and say, that's me, Lord. I need to be saved again, Lord. I need to be given a revelation of who you are, Lord, in my life. Anybody like that this morning? And then I want to really minister this morning to us as believers. Maybe you're young and you're worried about the timing of your life. Your life just doesn't seem like it's in God's season. You don't seem like you're in the right season. You're frustrated because your work doesn't seem to be significant to God. But God wants to say to you this morning, I will move you when I need to move you. But you need to commit and say, Lord, I know I'm in your timing. Maybe it's my attitude that's wrong. And maybe your attitude is wrong towards your work, or maybe you need to come to a place like where I was when I worked, and I needed to say, Lord, I don't want to keep thinking about the ministry or about something else. I must commit to what you've given me now. And I had to be an engineer for 9 years until God released me into the ministry. So maybe God is saying to you, your timing is now. Your timing for your work, He wants to use you in that place. He wants to use you to bring people to salvation. That's what He wants to do. It's not about your feeling and about how you enjoy your work. So maybe you're at that place this morning. Maybe your attitude is wrong. Maybe you're not submitting. Maybe you feel you've got rebellion in your heart towards the leadership or towards Shofar as a whole. You know you need to be here, but you just struggle to submit under authority. Then I want to pray with you this morning. I just really want to make an open call this morning. And say, I want to extend my faith to you this morning and say, God, change lives here this morning. Use us all, Lord. Use us all. So as we're going to sing one more worship song, I just really want us to respond to the Lord this morning and say, God, here's my life. Take it afresh. Change my attitude if you need to change me. Change my influence, Lord. I'm being influenced rather than being the influencer. Your favor needs to be on my life. I want that favor. So let's just sing this last song, and then if you need to do business with the Lord this morning, we're just going to worship you this morning just for one more song, and then just come to the front, whatever you need to do. I want to pray with you guys this morning.